Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Maseches Yevamos Daf Mem. We are holding at the last line of Lamed Tes Amud Beis, right in the middle of that line. Eimer Reisha. We left off with the Machlokes between Avashol, who says that when we speak about Yevamo Yovei Aleha, it has to be done L'Shem Shemayim. Otherwise, it's almost considered doing an Avera, engaging with his sister-in-law. So here, intent, Kavana, pure motivation is what's needed. Rabbanon say, sure, a good Kavana is always good, but it's not Mi'akiv, it doesn't disqualify the Yibam. And therefore, even Bezman Hazeh, where we don't have that ability to have pure motivation, says the Gemara, we can do Yibam. Now we had a Brisa. Yevamo Yovei Aleha, and the Brisa said Mitzvah. We had two interpretations. Either it can be explained according to Avashol, that has to be L'Shem Mitzvah, Yevamo Yovei Aleha L'Mitzvah. That's a precondition. Or it can be following Rabbanon. The Brisa is simply saying that the preferred option between Yivam and Chalitza, the preferred option is Yivam. Yivam or Yavela, Mitzvah. That's the preferred Mitzvah. But intent? That's not what we're talking about. So even without proper Kavana, it is still a proper Yivam. So we have two explanations on this Brisa. Either it's following the Rabbanon or Avashol. Says the Gemara, how can you say that the Brisa is in line with Avashol and in effect telling us that it has to be L'Mitzvah? Right, there are two ways of doing this thing, L'Shem Shemayim or for other purposes. It has to be done L'Shem Shemayim. How can that be the Pshat and the Brisa? Because take a look at the first part of the Brisa, which seems to be mirroring. It's like almost a parallel track. It's a similar concept to the second part of the Brisa. And in the beginning of the Brisa, where we use similar language, the meaning of mitzvah over there can only work like the Rabbanon's interpretation of mitzvah. Let's see. Says the Gemara, Emeresha. Let's take a look back at the beginning of the Brisa, which focuses on the pasuk of matzos to yochel b'makom kodesh. So we speak about the kohanim eating the leftovers of the mincha after you took the kmitza, like you scooped out, put on the mizbech, leftovers go to the kohanim, and we learned that it has to be mitzvah. Soon we'll explain the brisa, right? So there's a special mitzvah to eat it. Shebetchila hoyse olav b'chal heter. Initially, before you were magdish this material, you could have eaten it. It was non-hegdish. Nesra, once you made it hegdish, it became asr la'achila. But then after you did the haktoras hakmitza, the chazer v'hutra, the leftovers become mutter. Yachal tachzer lehetera harishon, perhaps it reverts back to its original status and it's totally mutter. Tamal leima, that's why the pasuk says, matzos te'achil b'makam kodesh, which tells you mitzvah. End quote. What did the Brisa mean? Now, Bishleim Rava. So this would work according to Rava's explanation of the Brisa, that Yivama Yovei Aleha Mitzvah means you have two separate routes you can take. You can do the Yivam or the Chalitza. Yivama Yovei Aleha Mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do the Yivam over the Chalitza. So according to that explanation, we can explain this part of the Brisa as well, along the same lines. Bishleim Rava da Amar Hamani Rabbanani. Brisa is following Rabbanon. Hacha, hachik amar. Here as well, the Brisa means matzah is te'echel b'makam kodesh, mitzvah. You should know that this is actually a mitzvah. Shebetchila hoyse olav b'chal heter. Initially, the material used in the mincha was mutzah b'achila, up to you. Ratza eichla, ratza eino eichla. It's up to you, you can eat it. You doesn't have to eat it. Nesra, once it became a mincha, chaz, and then you makter the kaimitz, chazer v'hutra, it comes back and becomes mutter again, perhaps just as mutter as before. Yochel tachsor la'teira rishon. Perhaps it goes back to its original status, which means ra'atza eichla, ra'atza eina eichla. It's up to him. Eat it, don't eat it. And there's no mitzvah to eat it. One second, let's stop right here. Ra'atza eina eichla, what do you mean? He doesn't have to eat it. It's certainly a mitzvah. It's part of the hakrovas hakorban that the kohanim should have the remnants. That completes the kapara. We learn from here, melamed shakehanim oichlam, ubalim iskaprin. The kehanim consuming the rest of the carbon, in this case the remnants of the kmitza, generates kapara for its owner. Of course they have to eat it. Ella, what then does the brisa mean? Perhaps any kohen can eat it. Rotza, hu oichlam. If the kohen who actually did the avoida wants to, he can eat it. Rotza kohen acher oichlo. Or perhaps if another kohen chooses to have it, he can have it. There's no preference. Is that so? Talmud Leimar. Matzos toyochel b'makom kodesh. And we learn from here, mitzvah, the fellow, the kohen who was actually engaged in the avoida, should be the one doing it. So when we say matzos toyochel mitzvah, it means this kohen eating it is the preferred mitzvah, as opposed to another kohen. So there's one way of doing it. There's a different type of thing you can do. No, do this one. Just like by the Yibum versus Chalitza. Prefer the Yibum over the Chalitza. So according to the Rabbanon, the whole Braisa is in sync. Prefer this over something else. Ela the Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi, according to the other approach. The Amar Abasholi, who explained that the Braisa is following Abashol. Within the Ma'as of Yibum, you can sort of do it two ways, with proper intentions or without proper intentions. And the Brice is telling you, do it with the proper kavana. That's the case. Let's go back to the first part of the Brice, speaking about achilas hamincha, and we employ the word mitzvah. In this case, you don't have a choice between yes kavana and no kavana. Here there's no precondition of kavana. By yibum, you can say, you know, if it's not for the Shem Shemayim, it's as though you're engaging with an erva. After all, that's what she is. So the kavana sort of undoes, removes the iser. But by a mincha, even without kavana, l'shem mitzvah, it's still a mitzvah. V'chi teima, perhaps you'll say, that the two variations of the achila over here would be as follows. Rotza l'tei avayin oichla. If he wants, he can eat it, you know, for satiation. Rotza achila gasa oichla. Or you can actually overeat. Stuff the mincha. It's not a proper achila. No, you have to do it properly. That's the word mitzvah. So it's the same maase achila. Here it's done properly, improperly. And you meant to do it appropriately. Says the Gemara, achila gasa mishma achila. Is there any room to even think that achila gasa would be considered an achila? If one overeats on Yom Kippur, he's potter. We're speaking that he filled himself before Yom Kippur, and then come Yom Kippur, he added more. That's not nachila. Meloy se'una. Pasuk says, if one does not engage in painting himself, he gets cursed. So the point of Yom Kippur is to pain oneself. And here Rashi says, actually, when he overeats, this is a mas of ino. He's mazik. He's harming himself. So this type of eating is not considered achila. And we certainly know that a mincha must be eaten. We have other psukim. It says v'ochlu iron abanov. It's pashit. Even without this new pasuk of matzos to ochlu b'makom kodesh. So what then is the pasuk trying to teach us? Ella, perhaps like this. You can have the leftover of the mincha in two forms. Rotza matzo ochlu, rotza chometz ochlu. Perhaps the havamina would be, you can have it as matzah. Can turn into chametz. The pasuk says no, matzah is a mitzvah. How can you say that? Oksiv leisi'af chametz chalkam. You should not turn the mincha into chametz, and even the portion of the kehanim must be kept free of chametz. V'amrei shlokish v'afilu chalkam leisi'af chametz. Even the chalk of kehanim cannot be turned into chametz. That's not an option. So what then is the choice that you're faced with, that the pasuk has to emphasize mitzvah? Ela rotza matza eichla, rotza cholot eichla. Oh. Perhaps I would think that you can have it as matzah, baked in an oven. You can have it as cholot, scalded with hot water. And that's why the pasuk has to say matzahs, as opposed to cholot. Asks the Gemara, cholot echidami. What type of scolding are we speaking about? Im matzahi, if it was not allowed to leaven to turn into matzah, ha matzahi, it's considered matzah. Why would you discount it? Vila im matzahi, if it's no longer matzah, it stayed around long enough to turn into chametz, matzahs amar rachmana. Pasuk says elsewhere that the mincha has to remain, has to be eaten as matzahs. You don't need a new pasuk. Says the Gemara, le'olam, le'olam emloch matzah. Perhaps it is considered technically matzah. Oh, typically it's called matzah, but the pasuk is going to repeat matzahs to achal again to tell you that it has to be pure matzah in its ideal form, unaffected by scolding and all that. It has to be properly baked. So perhaps that's the point of the pasuk here. There are two forms, two ways of having this. You could have it as plain dough baked as matzah, or dough which is also scalded, or perhaps only scalded. And pasuk is telling you, you know, eat it in its pure form, the way it's meant to be, as matzah. Asks the Gemara. Now, by the way, you just said to me that even something which is chalut is considered matzah. It seems in the Gemara that we're speaking about first having it scalded and then baked in an oven. It's considered matzah, but for mincha you need pure matzah unaffected by this hot water. Ela cholot matzahi dekamrinan. When you say that technically, universally, even something which is scalded before baking is considered matzah, lamai hilchas, to what effect? What's the application? Which halacha would it apply to? Loimar, to tell you, she'adam yoytze bo yidei chavosu Pesach, on Pesach, you can use this type of matzah. Although the first step was scalding, but since he placed it in an oven afterwards, lechem oini kurinim beis considered lechem oini, v'adam yoytze bo yidei chavosu Pesach, and it can be used on Pesach. So bottom line is, we have a braisa, which speaks about how to eat a mincha, the leftovers of the mincha, and it says matzah is to achal b'makom kadosh. It's an extra pasuk to tell you mitzvah. What does that mean? You have two interpretations. Either the pasuk is telling you that this kohen should be eating it, the one that was engaged in the avoda, that's the better way of doing it, or we have another approach which is based on the abashol approach. We're speaking about one type of achila, but there are two methods, two ways, two forms of consuming. It's the same kohen, the same achila, and the pasuk is telling you eat it in a matzah form, as opposed to one which is also scalded with hot water. Says the Mishnah, "Chaylet levim to." If Shimon does chalitza to Reuven zivama, harayhu ke'echad v'na'achla nachla, he's now considered like his other brothers with respect to dividing the properties of Reuven, as opposed to when he's binyabim, he gets it all. No, here he's treated equally like the other brothers. V'yeisham av, if there is a father alive there, nechasim shalav, he gets it all before his sons. He is Yerush's son before the brothers. Hakoynes es yivim toy, if he does yibum, zochah benechasim shalav, hachiv, he takes over all the properties of his departed brother. Rabbi Da'imer, he disagrees. Benkach of benkach, whether it's chalitza or yibum, im yesham av, nechasim shalav, if there's a father around, father gets it all. So Mishnah spoke about a choylitz getting a portion of his brother's properties. Pshita, of course, why not? Saka that dachamina, perhaps I would think. Chalitza b'makam yibam kaima. After all, chalitza is the alternative to yibam. And just like by yibam, he gets it all. Here as well, v'nishkol kulu nichsi, let him acquire all his possessions. Kamash mon, the chilish is no. Ami yabam does, but not a chalitz. Yihachi, if that's the point, that he doesn't get it all, only a portion, then the Mishnah, instead of saying harihu ke'echad b'na'ach, and we consider him like the other brothers, which sounds like we're trying to bump him up. Yeah, he is considered like the brother. He has some sort of rights of Yerusha. Instead of that, it should have said, he's only like the other brothers. He's not better than them. He's considered only like them. Einoi elo. As opposed to a miyabim gets it all, he only gets a portion. If that's the point of the Mishnah, to downgrade him from 100% to only a portion. Elo. Rather, the wording in the Mishnah indicates that we're trying to bump him up. You would think perhaps he doesn't get anything. No, he gets something. Why wouldn't he get? Perhaps. By him doing chalitza, he is disqualifying her from yibum. He's making her lose that option from even the other brother. That's it. It's over. Likna say, perhaps we'll apply a penalty and have him lose all his rights to his brothers in the chasm, kamashmala. No. He doesn't lose his portion. Im yesham av, if there's a father around, father gets the nechasim of Reuven. Domar mar, av koidem l'chol yotzei reichai. Father precedes his offspring. Which means that if Reuven passes away without children, father, Yaakov, gets it before Shimon, Levi, and Yudah. Ha-koines is yibim. So if he does yibim, he gets it all. Ma'i taimu, yokum al shem achav amirachmana. Vare kam. He proceeds, he did yibim, he gets his brother's properties. Rabbi Doimer, if father is around, even in a case of yibum, father gets it all. Amar Ula, halach Rabbi Yehuda. That's how we paskin. V'chein Amar Bitzak Nafcha, halacha Rabbi Yehuda. V'amar Ula, v'itema, some say Rabbi Bitzak Nafcha. My time, Mother Rabbi Yehuda, where is he coming from? D'chsev v'hoya b'chera shal telit. And we learn that this is the Yavam, who gets Nechasim, who takes over his departed brother's estate. The Pasuk compares them to B'chor. And we learn as follows. Ki B'chor, ma B'chor, ein loy. Just as a b'chor, when it comes to his double portion from his father's nechasim, it's not during father's lifetime. Av hainami, the yavam as well, who is zoicha in his brother's nechasim, ein lo b'chayi av. This doesn't happen during father's lifetime. Father is the head of the family; he takes over Reuven's nechasim. If so, let's compare it even further to a b'chor. Ima b'chor noita pishnayim la'acham isas av. Perhaps. Just as a Bechor gets his double portion after father's death. Afhai, here as well, by a Yavam. Noitel Pishnaim, La'achar Misesa Av. So father takes the Nechasim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But then, father passes away. Perhaps the Yavam should now, at least now, he should get his own portion and his brother's portion in his father's estate. Responds the Gemara, Midi Yokum Al Shem Avev Ksib. Does the Pasuk say, well, he's going to take over his father's possessions? Yochum al shem achav ksiv. He takes over his brother's possession. V'loy al shem aviv, and not his father. So sure, if a father's not around, he takes over his brother's nechasim, but his father takes. That's it. So even when father passes away, all sons are treated equally. Emo, well, let's say like this. Heicha deleka av. Dilishkol nachla. When there's no father around, who would theoretically take Reuven's possessions, in that case, tiskayim mitzvah sivim, since Shimon the Yavam can take over Reuven's possessions, Yivam is now applicable. Because you can be Mekayim, you can fulfill and proceed with the process the way it's meant to be. But Heyechad Ika Av, Deloy Shokol Nachal, but if there's a father around, in which case Shimon is prevented from taking Reuven's Nechasim, in which case you're not really fulfilling the Mitzvah Yivam properly. Why does Kaya Mitzvah Yivam? Perhaps in that case don't do Yivam. Answers the Gemara, it's not interconnected. Midi yibum banachlo teller achmana? Is yibum dependent on taking inheritance and possessions and estates? Yibum imi yabmi. Do yibum. Viika nachlo. Shkuli. If there is nachlo available, go ahead and take it. Gesundheit. Viloi. But otherwise, let's say there's no nachlo, or there's a father who's going to take first. Loi shakl. In that case, he won't have it. It's a side fridge benefit. It's not integral to the mitzvah yibum. Yosef Rav Chanina Kara. Rav Chanina, the psukim expert, was sitting Kameh Rav Yani. Yosef Ka'amar, and he related as follows. Halacha, Rav Yehuda. I have a Mishnah or Braisa that the Halacha follows Rav Yehuda. Amar Lei. Sorry, he was saying his own Shita, Halacha Rav Yehuda. Amar Lei. So Rav Yani responded, Puk Kari Karyach Lebara. Go read your a statement outside, meaning that's not the halacha. Ain halacha Rabbi Yehuda. We don't follow Rabbi Yehuda. Tani Tana Kamei Rav Nachman. There was a Tana who presented a brisa to Rav Nachman. Ain halacha Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, we don't follow Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Amalei Rav Nachman responded, "What's the chiddush? Ela keman. Who do we follow? Rabbanon. We follow the Rabbanon that the Yavam always takes over the estate of the departed brother. Pshita. Of course, it's obvious. when we have a machlokes between a yachid, individual, the rabbim, of course, halacha k'rabbim, why would you think otherwise? Amalei asmai. So the Tana tells Rav Nachman, okay, you got me there. Should I just delete this braisa? Amalei. He said, no, look, don't do that. At halacha asnayach. The truth is that you probably had learned that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. That's probably your original version. Umuksha huda akshilach. And you had some difficulty accepting that, because why would we abandon the rabban who are a rabbin? Ba'afchas. And that's why you reversed your mishnah, your braisa. You changed it from halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda to ein halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Ulamai da'afchas, shaper afchas. And indeed, your reversal indeed presented properly. That's the correct approach. But really, in its original form, it was halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, and the one who held that way was voicing his shita. It's not considered an unnecessary braisa, so unnecessary mishnah, because the one that held halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda was actually supporting Rabbi Yehuda as opposed to the rabbanon. That was a real chiddush, and it was truly interesting lesson and a phenomenon that we follow Rabbi Yehuda as opposed to the Rabban. But the fact is, we don't follow that price, and we should switch it because we follow the Chachamim. Says the Mishnah, HaChayles Levimtai. If Shimon does Chalitza to Reuven's wife Rachel, mid the Rabbanon, we treat her as though she was divorced from him. Because Chalitza and Gerishin are very similar, as though she was married to him. And what happens then? As we know, one may not involve himself with his wife's relatives, who also recurvesseh. Therefore, with Rabbanon, we apply the same halachas to a chalutzo. He may not marry her relatives, v'yasur b'kreivav, and likewise, she may not marry his relatives. Who also be'ima? Let's go down the list. He may not engage with her mother, u'be'ima, her mother's mother, u'be'ima via, her father's mother, u'be'bita, her daughter, u'be'vaspita, her daughter's daughter, u'be'vaspina, her son's daughter, u'be'achaysa, and finally, her sister. Of course, when the chalutz is still alive, so it's like a wife who would make her sister asa to you while wife is alive, even after divorce. V'achen mutarin, this only pertains to Shimon the chalutz. But his other brothers, who did not actually engage in chalitza, they are free to marry her relatives. So that's as far as her relatives. And likewise, he asur be'aviv, she may not marry his father, or be'aviv, his father's father, or be'bnai, his son, or be'ben b'nai, his son's son, or be'achiv, his brother, or ben achiv, son of his brother, his nephew. Concludes the Mishnah with a slightly cryptic statement. Mutar Adam be'kroivas tzoras chalutzas. Although he cannot engage the relatives of his chalutza, but let's say the chalutza has a tzora who is not involved in the chalitza, her relative is okay. But the chalutza, let's say in this case, is Rachel, who happens to have a sister, not a tzara, just a sister, and that sister happens to have a tzara. Just as you can't marry the karev of the chalutza, you can't marry the tzara of the karev of the chalutza. And the Gemara will explain this halach. Says the Gemara, Iboilu, the Bnei Yeshiva wanted to know as follows: Gazru shnius bechalutza. Oy loy. Some arayis, most basic arayis, are also menater. So wife's sister, daughter, mother, etc. What about the shnius, which we discussed back on Achav Beis? The extended relatives, secondary relatives, that extra layer of relatives further out, which are also menaterabonon, on account of the closer ones. What about by a chalutza, which is really a derabonon to begin with? Do they extend the Isra to the Shnias as well? Do we treat it like a regular Erva or not? Be'erva da'iraisa, gozer b'hu rabbanu Shnias. By an ordinary Erva, in other words, a real wife, rabbanu extended the Isra to Shnias as well. Be'chalutza like gozer rabbanu Shnias. Perhaps not by a chalutza. Edilma, perhaps, lo'ishna, there's no difference. Because once she's considered like a wife, she's treated like a wife. The other side is, no, it's like gzera, a double safeguard. The whole Isser of Karev Chalutz is only in the Rabbanon. Perhaps we limit it, or no. Once we tag her as a wife, we treat her as such without any differentiation. Tashma, here comes a string of many rights. Ultimately, the Gemara is going to say that yes, shniyas are included. Okay, let's keep track here. Tashma, the Mishnah spoke about the list of relatives. Who asr be'ima? He may not approach her mother. Ube emima, mother is mother. Vilu, but aim ima lektani. Why does the Mishnah leave out mother's mother, great grandmother, which is a shnia? Why do we leave it out? Dilma hainu taima. Maybe the reason is the lektani. The reason for not mentioning it, really, it's asr. Rather, mishum de kaboy le misni seifa. The Mishnah wanted to continue, and seifa achen mutarn. The brothers of the chaylitz, not involved in the isr, they are mutter. Okay. V'itana aim ima. Had the Mishnah mentioned great grandmother, havamina, perhaps I would think, when we say ha'achin mutar, brothers are mutar, it's only going on this one. Dafka be'aim ima. Aval, but let's say be'aim ima, mother's mother, ubi'ima, just mother, loy, that's too close. That would be us even to the brothers. In order to avoid that confusion, we just left her out. This way we know that they are mutar, even by ima and aim. Right, I would think perhaps the heter of the brothers only pertain to the second level of relative, the shnia, but not to the immediate relatives. So that's why we don't discuss shnias. And now we know brothers are mutter even to the close relatives. Okay, but we can get around that pretty easily. For listening, Mishnah should say, aim ima, great grandmother is asr, and then say, for listening, add ha'achin mutar nukulam, brothers are mutter in all, without differentiation. It's pretty clear. Kashi, indeed, we lead as a kashi. Toshma, here comes another right. He asura b'aviv. She may not marry his father. So we have, let's say, the fellow who died, his name was Reuven. The brother who did chalitza, the chalitz, is Shimon. Their father, their joint father, is Yaakov. Okay, so Mishnah says, she may not marry the father. Ubavi aviv, father's father, who is actually a sheni. It's a shnia. Ketanemia, avi aviv, father's father, that's a sheni. My love, should we not assume? Mishum chayitz. The reason for Isser is on account of her relationship with Shimon. Dehavi lo kalas pnoi. We treat her as though she is Shimon's wife. That's the essence of the Isser of Chalutza. It's as though she was his wife. In which case, Shimon's father's father is also because she is kalas pnoi, which means she's his son's daughter-in-law, which is really a shnia. Here we go. Shnia is asr. Lo, that's not the reason for her being asr on avi aviv. Mishum misna. Keep in mind that the isha, let's call her Rachel, the chalutza, was actually once married to Reuven, the mace. Really married, really his wife. Which produces arayis all around. Dehavi lekalas b'nai. In which case, certainly, the grandfather here can't marry her. She's really his son's daughter-in-law. Right? She was actually married to Reuven. So Reuven and Shimon's grandfather, Avi Aviv, is usher on her because, perhaps not because of her experience with Shimon, the Chalitza, simply because she was married to Reuven. Avi Aviv's son, his name is Yaakov, daughter-in-law. And that's a shnia, but we understand that here it's applicable because here she was really his wife. By a real wife, of course we apply shnia. So this isn't the raya to our shayla. Whether we apply shnia for chalutza. Toshma, here comes another raya. Ubi ben benoy. The chalutza can't marry Shimon's ben benoy. Well, that again is a shnia. My love, mishum chalutz. The reason perhaps is because of her relationship with Shimon the Chalitz. The Havila Eishes Avi Aviv. So why can't this grandson marry her? Because she's considered the wife of his father's father. Here we go. This is another version of Shnia, which is applied to a Chalutza. Lo, that's not why. Same reason as before. Mishum Misna. Let's remember that she was once really married to Reuven. that case, she's an Eved Dorais, and we, of course, add Shniyos to the list. V'havila Eishes Achi Avi Aviv. So what's her relationship to Chaylitz, to Shimon's Ben Benai? Work your way up. She is the wife. The wife of Reuven. So it's the wife of the brother of his father's father. And that is a Shniyah. But not because of the Chalitza, because she was actually married to Reuven. Okay? Says the Gemara, what do you mean? But that's too far. Ha'amemar machshar b'eshes achi avi aviv. Back in the Navchav Beis, Amemar clearly told us, this is too much for a Shniyah. This is not included in Shniyah. And says the Gemara, Amemar mukila b'barbar. Oh, Amemar is going to reinterpret the Mishnah. Mukila b'barbar de saba. When we learn Ben Benoy in the Mishnah, no, we're not speaking about the Chaylitz, Shimon's Ben Benoy. We're speaking about whose grandson? The grandfather's grandson. Let's go back a dir. Let's go back up a generation to the father, to Aviv, right? To Yaakov. Who's his grandson? Not Shimon's son. Remember, there's another brother there. Let's call him Levi, right? He's Achiv of Shimon, the brother there, third brother. That fellow's son. So that's Ben Benoy that we're talking about. Barbara de Saba. Oh, so now we understand why that fellow cannot go ahead and marry Rachel, who was Reuven's wife. Reuven is the potted brother. Why? Rei Pasha, she's his aunt. Right? We went up a generation. The Ben Benoy is Yaakov's Ben Benoy. Right? So it's Shimon's brother's son, Shimon's nephew. Of course that nephew can't marry Rachel, who was once Reuven's wife. Why? She's his father's brother's wife. It's an Erev D'Oraisa. Nothing to do with Shniyos. Yochi, if that's the case, Hainu Achiv. Who Ben Achiv? If Ben Benoy in the Mishnah is referring to Shimon's nephew, not his son, Shimon's nephew. We call him Ben Benoy because that's in relation to the father Yaakov, Yaakov's grandson. Well, then that's Achiv and Ben Achiv discussed in the Mishnah. Right? We're saying Benoy means Yaakov's son, and Ben Benoy is Yaakov's grandson. Right? So Benoy is Levi, let's say, and Ben Benoy is the son of Levi. So then why does the Mishnah also say Achiv, the brother of Shimon? It's the same fellow. And Ben Achiv is nephew. It's a repetition. Tana Achiv mina Av. Look, Tani Achiv mina Em. The reason why the Mishnah mentions both, we're speaking about two different types of brothers. Benoy Ben Benoy is speaking about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov. Right? The grandfather Yaakov's son and grandson. So Yaakov's son happens to be Shimon's brother with whom he shares a father. So it's his brother and his nephew from his father's side. And when the Mishnah says Achiv, Shimon's brother, and Ben Achiv, his nephew, was speaking that he only shares a mother with that brother. A different type of relative. That's why we mentioned it twice. Okay, two versions of the same type of idea. In any case, we have no riot our Shaila. Perhaps we're speaking about a totally different context. We're speaking about an Issa which stems from Rachel being married, having been married to Reuven, or as a Amemah would say, we're speaking about an Eved Dorais. Toshma, here comes another riot. A riot which we can't refute. The Tani Rav Chiya, we have a Braisa from Rav Chiya, which gives us a full comprehensive list of the Arayis, of the Kroivis that are Asur on account of Chalitz. Arba Midivrei Torah, V'Arba Midivrei Seifrim. There are four that would be Asur Min HaTorah. Meaning, let's say, this Chalutza, right, Shimon was Chalitz Rachel, would have really been Shimon's wife, then the following four would be Asur Min HaTorah. And we have another four, which are Shniyos, and would only be Asur Min HaDrabanan. And they all apply to a Chalutza, we treat her like a wife. Okay, let's see. We have Av, Shimon's father. Ubnai, Shimon's son. Achiv, Shimon's brother. Uben Achiv, the chayot is nephew. These are medivrei Torah. These are the first tier, first circle of relatives. Let's go to the extended relatives, to the shniyos. Avi Aviv, the chayot is father's father. Avi Imai, his mother's father. Two types of shniyos. And then going downward, we have Ben Benai, son's son. That's another shniyah. Uben Bitoi, his daughter's son. That's another shniyah. These are medivrei sefer. Clearly, Ketani Mia, the Brisa clearly says, Avi Aviv. The Chayot says, father's father. My love, Mishum Chayot. Shall we not assume the reason why Rachel can't engage with that fellow is due to the Chalitza from Shimon, and we treat her like his wife. V'avi lo kalas p'noi, and to his mother's father, sorry, his father's father, Avi Aviv, she's considered like his son's daughter-in-law, which is a shnia. Clearly, shnia is not included. Loi, that's not the reason. Misham misna. Let's remember, the chalutza was also once married to Reuven, the mace. In which case, shnia is truly justified. The havi lo kalas benoi, because in this case, certainly, in relation to Shimon's father's father, who also happens to be Reuven's father's father, she is father's father's son's daughter-in-law. But since it's on account of marriage, certainly shniyos are included. But by chalutza, who knows? Tashma, here comes another raya. Rabbi Chiya said, one of the shniyos is Avi Imai. The chalutz is mother's father. My love, Mishum chalutz. Shall we not assume this is due to her chalitza from Shimon? The havi lo kalas bitay. And now, Rachel, the chalutza from Shimon, relative to Shimon's mother's father, is his daughter's daughter-in-law, which is a shniyah. Clearly, shniyahs are included in the chalutza de Rabbanu. Loi, that's not the reason for Isser, rather Misham Misna. Let's remember, Rachel was formerly married to Reuven, and therefore, she's Aser to Reuven and Shimon's mother's father. The havi lo kalas bitay, she is his daughter-in-law's daughter. Sorry, his daughter's daughter-in-law. But since we're speaking about a real wife here, she was once really married to Reuven, we understand perfectly well why shniyos are included. But by chalutza, who knows? Tashma, here comes a good raya. Ubeben benoi, Rabbi Chiya told us, who's the next shniyah that's Aser? Ben benoi. The chayletz Shimon's son's son. My love Shem chayletz. Is it not due to Rachel's chalitza from Shimon? That makes his son's son aser on her. Why? The havila eshes avi aviv. This is another form of a shnia. Because Rachel is considered as though she is his father's father's wife. That's a shnia. Well, that's not why. Mishum misna. Because of her marriage to Reuven. Way back when. The havila eshes achi avi aviv. Because Rachel, by having married Reuven, is considered his great aunt. Whose great aunt? Shimon's son's son, right? Go back up one generation. Go back up two generations. Move over to Reuven. Rachel is Ashes, the wife of the brother of his grandfather. Right? And this is because she was married to Reuven. Certainly by regular Isha, we include Shnius as well. But it's unrelated to Chalitza. But that doesn't work. Amemar tells us back on Afchav Beis, we never extend Shnias this far. Answer, Amemar mukim lo mishum cholitz. You're right. According to Amemar, we're left with no choice. The reason for the Isser here is because of Rachel's chalitza to Shimon. That's why she's Asur on Ben Bnei of Shimon. Even though it's a Shnia, you're right. Because Savar, Gazru, Shniyos, Barayos. Clearly, according to Amemar's interpretation of Rabbi Chiya's Braisa, Shniyos does apply to a Chalutza. We treat her like a regular Isha. Tashma, here comes another Raya. The fourth Shniya mentioned by Rabbi Chiya was Ubeben Bitay. The Chalutza may not marry the son of Shimon, the Chalutz, his daughter. My love, Mishim Chalutz, apparently due to her Chalitza from Shimon. The Havila Eshes, Avi Imai, in which case Rachel is considered the wife of his mother's father. And that's another form of Shnia. Like, that's not why. Mishamisna, on account of her marriage to Reuven in the past. The Havila Eshes Achi Avi Imai. In which case, Shimon's Ben Bitoy is Asur to her, because she's considered to him, what? The wife of the brother of his mother's father. And that's a Shnia. But it's legitimate because this is due to her real marriage with Reuven. Anisha includes Shnia. Right? What do you mean? V'hagabi Shnia is the Erva le'gazru. We know that this far back, we never apply even by an Erva. Wife of a brother, of a father, his mother, that's too far out. Even by a regular wife, he wouldn't say that. El lavashim chaylitz, oh, must be that the issue here pertains to the chalitza that occurred between Shimon and Rachel. And that makes her usher on Shimon's ben bitoy, because she's like a grandmother. Although Shnia, her grandmother, nevertheless. Ushmamina, clearly, Gazru Shnia is Bachalutz Ushmamina. Even by a Chalutza, we apply not only the Isser for close relatives, but we certainly include the outer circle as well. We treat her like a Grusha and a former wife. And the Mishnah concluded with the statement as follows. Although a relative of a Chalutza is Asr to the Chalutz, but a relative of the Tzara of the Chalutza is Mutter. Omar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisn, Omar Shmuel. Habal Tzoras Chalutza, Havlad Namza. Listen to this. Reuben passes away, leaves behind Rachel and Leah. Shimon does Chalitza to Rachel. And then one of the brothers himself, others, lives as married with the Tzora of the Chalutza, with Leah. He did an Issa Kuris, she's an Erva, she's an Ishas Ach, and they generate a Mamzer. My time and why? B'Yisura Kaima. She remains Asr. Rachel had Chalitza, not me. I'm a regular sister-in-law. Omar Yosef, Avananam Tanina. I will prove this point from our Mishnah, which says, Mutar Adam, Bekroivas, Tzoras Chalutzasa. Although, the relative of a Chalutza is Asr, but nothing wrong with marrying the relative of the contemporary, the companion wife of the Chalutza. Apparently, she is unaffected, the Tzara is unaffected by the Chalutza. It's not as though she also went through Chalutza and the Chalutza sort of represented them all. No, the Chalutza is a Chalutza. The other wife is a plain Eshesach. And that's why the brother can marry the relative of that Eshesach, because she's not a Chalutza. This works well if the Tzara, the woman who had no Chalitza done to her, Leah, remains sort of out of the loop, unaffected by the Chalitza. That's the reason that explains why Mutar B'Achoisa, you can marry your sister, because she's not a Chalitza. Who disqualifies her relatives? Eli Amras Tzara K'Chalitza Damya. But if you maintain that Chalitza done to Rachel sort of exempt and is mighty, it's as though you're doing it for Leah as well. She's also a chalutza, and therefore, if he's Baal Leah, there's no kares. It's just a chalutza. Am I mutter? Why would he be mutter to marry her relatives? She's a chalutza, and the relative is a krevis chalutza. From the fact that the Mishnah allows you to marry a relative of a tzara of a chalutza, apparently the tzara is not considered a chalutza. That's a big kash. Leima to have it yufted Rabbi Yechon. That's a kash on Rabbi Yechon. The Amar. He says, he has a different, Rabbi Yechon's approach is as follows. He says, when one brother does chalitza to one yivama, he is representing all brothers, she's representing all yivamas. We view it as though they all went through the chalitza process. It's like a shlichas. Damar bein hu, bein achin, whether the chalitz himself or the other brothers, ein chayavin, loy ala chalitza karis. There's no curse between them and the Chalutza, because although the other brothers didn't do Chalitza, it's as though they did through him. She's a Chalutza for all of them. Likewise, V'lei ala Tzarasa curse. If they engage with the Tzara, who didn't really have Chalitza, there's no curse. She loses the Eishes Ach status. She's considered a Chalutza. Why? Although she didn't have Chalitza, but her Tzara did. and she represents her as well. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, and all the women in the family, all the tzaris, are deemed to have gone through the chalitza process, why would the Mishnah not treat her like a chalitza? Why can you marry her relative? Amalek Rabbi Yochanan responds to Rabbi Yochanan. Vitispra, what do you think? Achoyes chalitza deraisa? You think that the whole concept in the Mishnah is minatayra? V'amarish lakish, kan shana Rabbi. Rabbi taught us over here. Achoyes grusha medivre teira. Right, Rabbi teaches us, actually the next Mishnah, that minatayra, one may not marry a sister of a grusha, but achoyes chalitza, that's only medivre seifrim. So that being the case, we can understand that the issa d'rabban of marrying a relative of a chalutza only applies to the chalutza herself, but not to the tzara who technically did not go through a chalutza. Although, in halacha, in the longest, we treat her as though she went through the chalutza process, but practically she didn't have chalutza, and therefore the issa d'rabban pertaining to her relatives was not activated. If that's the case, asks the Gemara, Maishna hayu maishna hay. So let's get back and take a look at the Mishnah. You can marry the relative of the tzar of the chalutza, as we just explained, but then the Mishnah concludes, V'asu betzaras kreves chalutzasi. But there's an isser with respect to marrying a tzara of the sister of the chalutza. What's the difference between one and the other? Why is a kreves tzaras chalutza mutter, and why is a tzaras kreves chalutza asur? Answers the Gemara. A big difference. Hach the azla b'hadala beidina goz b'hu rabbanon. Rashi explains an isha finds it hard to go to the bezin herself. She needs support. She needs her sister to hold her hand while she's going through the chalitza process. So typically when Rachel comes to bezin, her sister comes along with her. Oh, people might mistake it, might think that Leah got the chalitza. Look, she was in Bezin, maybe she got the chalitza, and they'll confuse things. We treat Leah as though she went through the chalitza. And therefore, you can't marry the tzara of that relative either. Because they'll think, oh, you married the tzara of the chalitza. That's certainly aser. Right, so there's two Yevamis, and one was Nechlatz, you can't marry the other one. So that explains the Mishnah. You cannot marry the tzara of the relative of your chalitza because the relative comes along, but it'll appear that she got the chalitza. Therefore, keep away from her tzara. Right, just like the chalitza herself is aser, and the chalitza's relative, the tzara of the chalitza's relative as well is included because people might think that the relative was the one who got chalitza. Hi, the lay azla badala beidina, but an isha doesn't come along to the bezin like the tzara. She had enough of her in her lifetime, during her husband's lifetime. She doesn't come to help her out in the bezin. So in this case, you have Rachel and Leah. Rachel gets the chalitza, and Leah stays far away. It's clear that she didn't get the chalitza. Le'goz rabu rabbanon. In that case, there's no reason to apply any isser to Leah's relatives. It's clear that Leah did not go through chalitza, and therefore her relatives are mutter. And that's what we say, mutter adam bekrevas, tzaras chalutzasei, one may marry a sister of the tzara of the isha who got chalitza. Okay, let's do a quick chazara. We learned about the shiori mincha. It should be eaten in pure form, as pure matzah, as opposed to a Pesach, where the dough is scalded and then baked, that would be okay. Okay, what about the Yerusha of the departed brother? A Chayetz does not get. He doesn't get special privileges. He's treated like the other brothers. A Miyabim does take over his Yerusha. Rabbi Yehuda says if there's a father around, he gets priority. A Chayetz and a Chalutza are an Asur in each other's craving. Shniyas are included as well. Only the Chayetz cannot marry her relatives, but his brothers can. And we learned that the relative of a chalutza goes along to bezin, it would appear that she gets chalitza, and therefore her tzara is asr as well, because the tzara of a chalutza is also a sister-in-law, and we want to keep away from any misconceptions. Whereas in the reverse, if it's a tzara of the chalutza, she doesn't come along to Bezdin, nobody thinks she gets the chalitza, and therefore her relative is mutter. That's Rabbi Yochanan's approach. But the first approach in the Gemara was that actually the tzara is not considered as though she went through the chalitza process, right? And therefore we say if one engages with her, one of the brothers engages with her, he gets kares. It's like a regular sister in that case. There's no need to add any issa craving, which only applies to a chalitza. All the best to you and tons of atzlach. Be well.